Psalm 122, we're going to start in verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And jump over to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. Tonight, for a little bit, we're going to talk about a New Testament church, and more so, bring out what a privilege and an honor it is to be a part of a New Testament church, something that I can't speak for anybody else, I can speak for myself, I take for granted far too often. I look at being a New Testament church member as, yeah, it's something that's cool. It should be something that we reverence, that we hold on to, that the opportunities that we have to come into a New Testament church should be something that we treasure, that we look forward to. We build our life around the opportunities that we have as church members. And the reason why is, turn to Matthew 18. You know, we just read in Psalms that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. The psalmist in Psalm 84 said he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Why? What's so important about this place? What's so special? Well, Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What's special about a New Testament church is this is the one place where God will meet with his people. This is where we have the opportunity to have fellowship, to give worship, to give glory and honor to the Creator, to our Father, to our Savior. This is where we get to meet with him. A member of New Testament church that has their heart right with God and is ready to meet with him at the appointed place, the appointed time, is the closest we can get to being with God on this earth. There is no closer you can be until we are up in heaven with him forever. But how many of us come to church and think, well, I just got to cross it off the list. I got to check my three services, or, you know, I made it to two services, that's good enough. Or I made it to a couple things, that's good enough. We look at these opportunities where we're going to look at it a little bit later. Oh, let's just jump to it. Turn to Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. We take this opportunity that he purchased with his own blood and say, that's not that important. You know, I'll categorize, you know, yeah, Sunday morning, that's the important one. Sunday night, if I have nothing else going on, Wednesday, it depends on how the day goes. Or let's not include, hey, maybe youth rally, let's not worry about that one. That doesn't matter as much. We put being a New Testament church member in these categories of what's more important. Hey, if a church is doing something, if the church has something going on, you should be there. Because if you're not there, who's to say anybody else is going to show up? Well, they'll take care of it. What if they don't? And you have to be the one. If your mindset is always, well, I don't have to be that one. You know, someone else will take care of it. You know what's going to happen? Eventually, this church will no longer be a church. We'll start thinking, oh, it's okay, someone else will take care of that. Someone else will take care of this. Someone else will worry about having their heart right at church. I'll just phone it in for this service. Someone else will make sure that error goes out of the way. Someone else will stand up and contradict and, you know, contend for the faith. That's someone else's job. That's not mine. If we're always looking to someone else, oh, man, I'm jumping all over the place already in my message. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We can't always rely on somebody else to fight the battles for us, because if you are truly where God put you, God has a reason for why you are here in this New Testament church. He put you in this place. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? For if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If you are truly where you're meant to be, God has put you there, and it has pleased him that you are there. You are supposed to fulfill your role and your duty as a church member if God has put you in that church. If he hasn't put you here, go find where he has put you and be there to fulfill your duty as a church member. And you can't look to everybody else, well, it's the pastor's job. I don't see where it says, you know, the pastor is the one that does it. The church is the body. It's the members. So if we're always looking to somebody else to do it, we're not doing our duty as a church. We will cease to be a church. Because it says, verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, it's still part of the body. Your foot is still, you still need your foot. You still need your hand. Well, maybe I don't need this finger. How many of us want to lose a finger and say, I don't really need that one? That's not going to be a problem if I don't have that toe. Hey, I don't need that leg. Really? Well, that'd be silly if we were talking about our physical body. Why do we look at the church body like that? Well, they don't need me. Yes, they do. If God put you here, there's a reason that God put you in the New Testament church that you're a part of. And I can't overstate it. It is a privilege to be a member of the New Testament church that God has put you at. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being a chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are to be the habitation of God. And what does it say? Fitly framed together. You can't take a part of a building, take out half a wall and say, yeah, that's good. That's structurally sound. What would happen if that entire wall right there was just taken out? Yeah, you know, the building would be totally fine. It wouldn't fall over. It wouldn't have, it would be devastated. When we don't do our part as New Testament church members, when we don't take it seriously, when we look at our church membership as, it's not that big of a deal. I don't need to show up to that. Oh, I don't need to be at church that day. It's not for me. You are hindering the body. You will have an effect on the body. How many times do we look through the New Testament, the letters that Paul wrote to these churches, warning them of what they're doing to the body, warning them of going against the church, warning them of what might happen to a New Testament church if they don't take care of themselves, if they don't hold themselves to a higher standard. And by the way, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verse 14. Nope, not that one. Colossians 1, I think is what I want. Yep, Colossians 1, verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We have to remember who the head is. Why? Because when we see it in the Bible that God tells us to do something, we should understand it's his church, it's his body. If we don't want to do what God says, then don't be surprised if we find ourselves out in the world. Don't be surprised if eventually the church starts dwindling away. Don't be surprised if in 5 years, 2 years, maybe even 1 year, we don't have a First Landmark Missionary Baptist Church in Springfield. Well, we might think, well, that would never happen. At one point, we had, 100 different churches in the state of Oregon? We're down to 10 and one in Washington. How does it go from that many to this? How do the church at Jerusalem go away? How do the church at Ephesus, the church at Corinth, the church at Rome, all these churches that we read about, what happened to them? Well, at some point, something happened. They stopped caring about being a New Testament church, and they went away. There's no guarantee that we will stay. And especially if you stop caring about this New Testament church, you stop taking care of the responsibility, don't be surprised when this church goes away. Don't be surprised when eventually you find yourself skipping services, when you find yourself out in the world, when you find yourself in a Catholic church because you don't know what's true and what's not. Well, that would never happen. It's happened before. There are people, you can look at names. There are people who have left and gone to who knows what religion. Well, why? Because at one point they just stopped caring. We can stop caring. We should understand what a privilege it is to be here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, hold your finger here. Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if you sin willfully after that, after we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins. Jump down to verse 29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye be thought worthy to have trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of God, grace. For we know that that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We hear this verse all the time. Yeah, we just got to go to church, go to church, go to church. Do we understand why this gets brought up all the time? Because the simplest thing of showing up to services three times a week, the simplest thing of getting your heart right before you go to church seems to be a big problem that we all deal with every single time. Because I guarantee you, if I ask for a show of hands, who took the time to get their heart prepared to be in services today, I don't think everybody would raise their hand. I don't even know if half of you would be willing to raise your hand if you're being honest with yourself. Take a second. When was the last time you actually took the time to be prepared to come to services? When was the last time you thought you got your heart right with God and understood that when you go into the body, the presence of God on a Wednesday night, it is just as much a church service as Sunday morning. It is just as much a church service as the church services that the church at Jerusalem had when Jesus Christ was in their presence. Do we understand that? It's the same exact thing that they had. You go look, you know, turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 13, thy way, O God, is in a sanctuary. Who so great a God as our God? We have to understand, there has always been a time and a place in all of human history where God has met with mankind. He has always desired that fellowship. Now, we're not going to go look at every single one of them. You can go read the Garden of Eden, Bethel, even Mount Sinai. He had a moment where he met with people there. You can go read all those. I figured we'll look at the ones that I call the big three. The tabernacle, the temple, and the New Testament church. Because those are ones that we see clearly. 1, 2, and 3. Turn to Exodus 25. Now, this is not exhaustive whatsoever. I encourage you, if you haven't looked at the tabernacle recently, if you haven't gone through and see every last detail in there and how it points to the New Testament church, and also see the care that it took to build the tabernacle, all the effort that went into it, the privilege it was to be a part of that tabernacle. Go read it, because the more you understand about the tabernacle and the more you look at that compared to New Testament church, it should make you understand what a privilege it is to be a New Testament church member. It should give you a greater appreciation for it. And sometimes I think we just leave that off and say, well, I don't have to worry about that. That's Old Testament. There's a lot of quote-unquote Baptists that are Old Testament, and they leave off the tabernacle. You know what they're also going to leave off? A lot of core doctrines that will keep a church right, that will keep a church in line with God. Because Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Verse 9, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. We see here, what was God's desire? A sanctuary that I may dwell among them. You go look at Hebrews, it compares and contrasts New Testament church to the tabernacle. It says, the sanctuary that Moses, the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. This was a perfect picture of what was to come to New Testament church. So if this is a picture of what's to come, what does that mean God wants? He wants to dwell with mankind in his New Testament church. And it says, we verse here, according to all the pattern after the tabernacle and pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Do you think if Moses, Nadab, and Abihu, when they were building the tabernacle and they're building the pieces of it, if they just, you know, shaved off a cubit a little too short, or, you know, did something a little lopsided, they just looked at it and said, God will be okay with that. You know, it's missing a board on the west side. He'll be okay with that. There's a giant rip in the wall. He'll be fine if that piece is missing. I'm pretty sure God would have killed them if they set it up wrong. If they did something wrong, we see a man died from touching the Ark of the Covenant when he was trying to save it from falling over. His name was Uzzah. Go read that story. Why would God kill him? Because there was a specific way, a specific rules, and God set those rules out. New Testament church is the same way. He's got specific rules, specific things that he commands. If we start not caring about that, we should be scared and in danger of what we might lose. You go read the church at Ephesus and Book of Revelation. They were doing a lot of things right, but they were screwing up on some things too. What would happen? What was their warning? You'll lose the candlestick. You will lose a Holy Spirit as comforter. God will not meet with you. God may not always meet with us in this church if we start letting things slip. If we stop caring about New Testament church, turn to Exodus 40. We're skipping over the whole building of the instruments and setting it up and everything that went along there. But what I want to point out, Exodus 40 and verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was upon it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. We see here, when the tabernacle was built, God's glory filled the tabernacle. So much so, Moses was not able to enter in. It was a spectacle to see. How many of us, if, you know, the cloud was over top of the church building, the time that it was, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night, how many of us would look at New Testament church a little bit differently? How many of us would have a little more reverence when we walk inside this building? We shouldn't need a cloud to understand that God is here with his people. You look at, jump over, you know, we're going to jump ahead to the temple, 1 Chronicles. You know, we're not even going to read the stories of how many times that Israel disrespected God in the tabernacle. The story of is it Nadab and Abihu? Yeah, I said the wrong names earlier when I talked about the building. Bezalel and Aholiab built it. Nadab and Abihu screwed up on the sacrifices, screwed up on what they were doing for God. God killed them instantly. Well, that would have happened today. Go read Acts and look at Ananias and Sapphira. They screwed up, and what did God do? He dropped them dead right then and there. They carried their bodies out. You really think God's not going to care that much about his New Testament church? He does. He cares a whole lot about it. And we're not even going to talk about how the New Testament church is the bride. It's a very broad topic to preach about in one evening. You can go on for years, your whole life, studying about the New Testament church. You won't fully understand it. But when you look at that bride, go read how God talks about his bride, how much love he has for it. Husbands, would you not protect your bride if someone was attacking it? Would you not care if someone was disrespecting your wife? Would you not care if somebody just looked at them and pushed them over, walked all over them and didn't care? No, I guarantee every single one of us would get a little bit defensive, get a little bit protective. Do you really think God doesn't care about his church the same way you care about your wife? He cares. He cares a lot. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as David sat in the house, that David said unto Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And jump down to verse 11. And it shall come to pass, when the day is to be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of the sons, and will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. Now, I encourage you to go read all the stories. Go read about this tabernacle, this temple. This was not just some podunk building. I did the math one time. The gold and the silver alone was equal to like $400 billion. This was special. This was a monument to God. How many of us look at the church and say, it's not that big of a deal? We look at it as, you know, well, I don't like that person. I have an issue with that person. That person doesn't deserve to be here. You are disrespecting God's house. You go, look, I don't think God would have taken kindly to you just going and kicking all the stuff in the temple or the tabernacle. God is very protective of his church. We sometimes get a little loose with how we talk about New Testament church, how we talk about New Testament church members. We should be very careful. You know, it talks about the tongue causing fires, causing issues. We should be probably a little bit more careful about how we talk about New Testament church, especially how we talk about fellow members of New Testament church, because God will hold you accountable for that. You will have to answer to God for that. So that's an extra side note of that. Be a little bit careful about what we think or what we talk about. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Back to this temple. It was to build a temple. It was to be a house for the Lord. We're actually going to skip over this. Turn to chapter 5. We see that David desired to build it. Solomon was the one that got to build it. David wasn't allowed to build it. God put that on Solomon. Solomon put all this work into it, build it. And verse 13, and it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice and the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of the music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. We see here in this moment, once again, the glory of God filled the temple. It would move. It was no longer at the tabernacle. It was at this temple. This was where God's house was. And once again, we see that cloud. Man, if only we had a cloud just filling up the tabernacle. If we only we had a cloud just like the temple. If only we had a cloud building up this place, I would take it a little more seriously. Well, turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We already read in Matthew, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We don't need a cloud because we can know if we truly are where God wants us to be. If we are meeting together in church capacity, God is here. Amen. We can give glory and honor to him here. We don't need a cloud. We are supposed to worship him in spirit and in truth. We shouldn't need all those physical pictures because what do we have? We have the Word of God to point us and direct us exactly where we need to be. We shouldn't need all these physical things. Well, if I had this, I've had this. No, you have everything you need. Maybe the answer is, you know, John chapter 4 said, true worshipers. Maybe you're just not a true worshiper of God. Maybe you're just phoning it in. If you don't understand what's special about a New Testament church, if you don't understand what's special about being where God wants you to be, where God has placed you, you're phoning it in and you're missing out. You need to understand what that truth is. And, you know, we can look at it. Turn to Revelation 1. Revelation 1. In verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and for the seven spirits which are before thee on his throne. Jump down to verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what seest thou? What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now, you know, these probably seem like they're picked randomly. What to show here is, the church is local. There is not one universal church. Just because you're a church member here doesn't mean you're a church member at Church at Albany, Church at Crestwell. We are individual churches. We have to understand that if you are where God's placed you, you need to be at your New Testament church. Now, yes, go to vacation, go visit whatever these other churches, but we have to understand, when I'm in the church at Albany, it is not the same as being in the church where God has placed me. If I'm in the church at Crestwell, it doesn't matter if I'm preaching, it doesn't matter if I'm participating in service, there's a difference between being where God wants you to be and somewhere else just visiting. Sometimes we lose sight of that because, you know, we are blessed to have the fellowship that we have. We are blessed to have the churches and the close relationships we have. But never forget, there is one New Testament church that you belong to, and that is the church at Springfield, if you truly are where you're supposed to be. And if you have whatever issue with the church at Springfield, you need to get it figured out. Because just because I don't like the people here, I'm going to go somewhere else, that's not going to help anything but hinder the church that you go to, and you're going to hinder your own fellowship with God. If you got an issue that's any reason why you can't come here, where you don't feel comfortable here, get it figured out. I guarantee you it's probably not worth fellowship with God. I guarantee you it's not as important as meeting with where God wants you to be. So something we have to understand is, yes, we are blessed to have the fellowship that we have. We are blessed. But at the end of the day, if every other church goes away, we will still be a New Testament church if we are faithful to God. It doesn't matter if we're the last ones there. Church of Jerusalem was the only church for a little bit. They had some growth. You know, there was one last church over in the Middle East. There was one last church in Asia. There was one last church in Europe. You know, there might be other churches there. I don't know. I know the churches we have here. There are some states in the United States, the blessed place that we have, where they went from having a fellowship of churches to one last church. I can think of a couple places where they have maybe one or two churches left, and they're holding on by a thread. We are blessed, but we take it for granted so much. We take advantage of what we have. We need to understand that there is a New Testament church here that God has placed you in, and this is where you need to be. This is where you're supposed to be. This is where you should be participating in. And that means if there's something that this New Testament church has voted to do, if there's something that we have decided to do, make time to be there for it. Show up for it. No, yes, be at church services. Absolutely. Yes, be at youth rallies. You know what else you need to be at? Bible studies, youth group, ladies meeting, visitation, vacation Bible school, church camp. It's a work of the church. If we're not going to do it as a church, then we shouldn't do it. Because then it just becomes, well, those people will handle it. Those people handle it. That's not a work of the church. That's a work of those people. If we're going to do something as a church, if we're going to say, put our stamp and say, we're a New Testament church, we're going to do this, let's do it as a New Testament church. Because if we're not going to do it as a New Testament church, if we're going to rely on everybody else to do it, there's no point in even saying to do it, making the motion to do it. Because we are the church that God has placed us at. Turn to, now we're not, sorry. I'm all over the place on this here. We need to understand that is a privilege to be a New Testament church, but also we have to understand there are steps to being a part of this New Testament church. Turn to Acts chapter 2. What a privilege it is, and I hope every single one of us, you know, if you are crossways with God, if you've never joined a New Testament church, if you need to get things figured out, I hope every single one of us become a New Testament church member, become those faithful members to God, to fulfill God's will. Yes, it is important, and I hope and pray every single person in this world gets saved. But when we see the will of God, who have all men to be saved, there's a second part to that, and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, where does that happen? How about the pillar and ground of the truth, which is the New Testament church? How about where the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth? Where does that happen? In a New Testament church. So I hope and pray, if you're sitting there and you don't know, if you're on the fence, maybe, maybe not, maybe, well, here's the thing. God's will is for you to be in a New Testament church member if you are truly saved. You see here, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Pause for a second there. That is not teaching baptism for salvation. Repent, that is salvation. Baptism, every one of you, because of the name of Jesus Christ, or of the name of Jesus Christ, because of the remission of sins. Turn to 1 Peter 3:21. You'll understand what it's talking about, baptism for salvation. That's a total side note, but verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We see here the three steps, salvation, baptism, being added to the New Testament church. You have to do it in that order. Well, I was baptized and I got added to the church, but then I got saved later. You don't just get grandfathered in. You still have to join the church. So maybe you're sitting here and thinking, well, I got saved after I said I was. You are not a church member, but you can be. You just have to get baptized again. Maybe you're from somewhere else and you know you're saved, but you don't have scriptural baptism. Get baptized again and join the New Testament church. Don't hold on to these little things that we choose to hold on to. If whatever's holding you up, get it figured out and get into the church where God wants you to be. It's going to be so much better for you to be in the church the way God wants you to be than where you're at right now if you're not with God. Because I'll tell you this, when you are in a New Testament church where you feel that Spirit moving, when you know that you're in true fellowship with God, there is no better feeling in the world than maybe the point of salvation, that 1 second when you get saved. But I don't even think that compares to that fellowship with God. That doesn't compare to what we will, because that unity you have with God, that fellowship, that's what heaven's going to feel like. You can have a taste of heaven right here on this earth. You know, they talk about heaven on earth. That's not some place. A New Testament church where you are right with God, where you get to fellowship God, that is heaven on earth. Amen. But how many of us, you know, we don't care about that. We look for those special moments. Yeah, on Christmas service, I'll get right with God. And Easter, you don't have to wait for some special service. You know, a church doesn't have to have revival services to have revival. You can have revival on a Sunday morning. You can have revival, I'm going to brace yourselves, on a Wednesday night. Well, you know, that's not important. Yeah, Wednesday night is just as much a church service as any other night. Well, you would think it's too hard. Well, Brother Roger last Sunday talked about the expectations. You go read the New Testament, they were meeting every single day, multiple times a day. Do we really think that three services is too much for us? I can't handle it. Well, imagine if you're trying to get, you're potentially going to die every time you met and the church voted to say have services every single day, every single night. We have it so easy, yet we take it so much for granted. Understand what a privilege it is to be a member of New Testament church. Turn to Numbers 10. I'm going to harp on not forsaking the assembly one more time here. Numbers 10, Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. We see here God, very clear instructions. When the trumpet is blown, you show up. When church service is supposed to be, you show up to it. And that doesn't mean, well, I'll take a rain check or I'll watch online. You know, if you can't be here because you're sick, don't show up, please. Love the brethren, don't get everybody else sick. If you physically cannot make it, okay. But when it is time to be at church services, there should be nothing more important than church services being where you are supposed to be at, unless you are physically unable to get here. But we don't ever look at it like that. We don't ever look at it as that's what should be most important. It's, well, I'm kind of tired today. Well, you know, I got a football game going on. Well, I got this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, I'm just going to go visit someplace. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go visit some other country. You know, there's no church there, but it's going to be okay. It's just a Wednesday night service. Well, yeah, they're a church in air. Yeah, they're not a Scripture New Testament church, but it's just one service. Well, that one service is spiritual fornication. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. You know, we talk about God having very specific rules, very specific orders. God also is very specific on what is his New Testament church and what is not. We harp on the marks of New Testament church. Well, yes, because you have to have a Scripture New Testament church for you to be able to go there and not forsake the assembly. And also, if you're going to another church that's not one of God's, spiritual fornication. Go read all of Israel's history. How many times did spiritual fornication get them into a lot of trouble? So much so to the point where God said, I'm done with you. Go into captivity. I'll deal with you later. I'll deal with you centuries later. Do you realize that God cut them off in the book of Malachi, and he's not taking them back till the tribulation period? That's over 2,025 years that God has said, I'm done with you. Do we really want to play games with God? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Jump down to verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table, nor the table of the devils. Do ye provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? How many times do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We say, well, it's okay. It's just, well, it's okay this one time. I'll ask for forgiveness later. You might not get the opportunity to ask God for forgiveness. You can commit the sin. God might kill you, and you will go see him in that standard where you're at right there and there. We ever think about that? When we think, oh, it's okay. Well, verse 13. Therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will make with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. What that means is, when you choose to go against God, when you choose to sin against God, he gave you a way out. You chose and made that decision. You chose to break fellowship with God in that moment. Is it really worth it to break fellowship with God? Is it really worth it to just add another check mark on the things I have to answer to God for in eternity? Well, it was a really important trip. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, here's the thing. I had this epiphany the other day. Everywhere we want to go on this earth, the cool places, I'd like to go see some really beautiful countries. Guess what? In that new heaven and new earth, I'll get to go see those places. I don't have to worry about it right here and now. If I just be where God wants me to be, if I just am faithful to God where I'm supposed to be faithful to him, if I do what I'm supposed to do now, one, I'm not going to miss out on anything on this earth. It will be better in heaven. It'll be worth it in heaven. But also, there's going to be a new heaven, new earth. Go visit after then. Go see it that time if you really want to go. But I guarantee you, when you see the presence of God, you're not going to want to leave that side. But yeah, that's just an epiphany I had the other day. Fun fact for you. We have to understand, whatever is holding you back from being a New Testament church member, whatever is that hold up for you, it's not worth it. It's not worth being at odds with God. There is no better place, no better privilege than to be a member of this New Testament church. You know, we already read it, but turn to Acts 20 one more time. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. He paid the price for it. He died on the cross. His blood bought it for you. We just get to take advantage of what he's paid for us. The blessing that he's given to us. Well, you might think, well, I've lived my life this whole time in one way. Go read the parable of the servants. There were some who started the beginning of the day, Guess what? The people who showed up for the last hour of the day got paid just the same. You might have wasted your life. Why keep wasting it? Why not just get it right now and end your life on a better note? End it on a high note. Say, yes, I've screwed up. Let me get it right with God. I don't think Moses sat there and said, man, I screwed up so much so to where when he struck the rock and God said, you can't go see the promised land, he was just, I give up. I can't do it anymore. Well, look at David. He screwed up. Do you think he was just like, ah, I give up. I can't do it anymore. What about Paul? He screwed up a couple times. How about Peter? Do you really think he just threw in the towel and said, I quit. I give up. Can't do it anymore. No. If you are still breathing on this earth, Bible talks about redeeming the time, making most of the time you have right now. If you are at crossways with the church, if you're not a church member, if you are anything, if you're not right with God, get it figured out before it's too late, because you still have time right here and now. I can't guarantee you you're going to have another second. If you're lost, you have right now. Today is a day of salvation. Now is the time. If you're not baptized and you're not a member in the Testament Church, get it figured out. We can baptize you on Sunday. It's that easy. All you have to do is be willing to do what it takes to get there. All you have to do is understand what a privilege it is to where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. To understand what a privilege it is to know that God is here with us right here and now. I don't know how many opportunities we have left of being with God here with us right here and now. Don't waste the time that we have. Understand the privilege and go look at every single chance that we have as that privilege, as that thing that God purchased with his own blood that he bled and died for. And understand what a blessing it is that when we can say, you know, as we read Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of our Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We read it, it's desire to be in the house of God. You know, not to tell a story, but I remember Sister Cooper, before she died, you go shake her hand and you ask, how you doing, Sister Cooper? And her one sentence was, if I can make it to church, I've got it made. If I can make it to church, I'm doing okay. How many of us, that's our goal in life, just to make it to church. That's what the privilege is. That should be our desire of each and every one of us here. Let's all stand. Pianist and song leader, come. Have an invitation. And if you are lost here today, God can save your soul. He can save your soul, and you can start that path, this faithful service to God. If you're crossways with the church or crossways with God, he can forgive you right now, and you can move on the rest of your life not holding back by that. If you haven't felt what it's like to have the Spirit working in your life, to have unity, to have true fellowship with God, you can get your heart right now, taken care of right now, so that next time we are in church capacity, you don't miss out on another opportunity. What number shall we sing? them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If you want God on your side, if you want God in your life, there is one place where he is at. It's New Testament church. He says he will be with you always. That means as long as you follow him the way he's laid out, he will be with you. What a privilege it is to be with God all the way. You just have to go where he leads you. And he's leading you. If you're lost, to be saved. If you're saved, to be baptized. If you're baptized, to join a New Testament church. If you're a New Testament church member, to be faithful to him. He's laid it out like a set of breadcrumbs, leading you right to where he wants you to be. All you got to do is follow the steps. Let's look to the Lord in a word of dismissal prayer. And as we do, Brother Dale, you please do some word of prayer.